welcome back. So as I mentioned before, there are different ways that you set choices and different outcomes. So we're going to look at different options, and it's all considered choice giving, but we use them a little differently and for different purposes, and we phrase things a bit differently depending on what we're working on in any given scenario. So you will be on the next sheet, which says advanced choice giving, providing choices as consequences. This partners really effectively with limit setting. So we've gone through the ACT process, which, pop quiz, what's your A? I'm sure you all said it, acknowledge the feeling. Don't cheat, by the way. What's your C? Communicate the limit. And your T? Target the alternative. Okay, I'm sure you all passed with flying colors. So here's when you take that ACT method and then you couple it with choices. So you'll see how that flows together. You can use them seamlessly. It's a very happy marriage of the two of those. So when we're looking at this, this is for consequences. And at the top, it talks about how it is our job to provide guidance and discipline for our kids. Arguably, one of the biggest struggles that most parents have is effective discipline. So we often have to make decisions for our kids. You know, kids are young and they don't know what's best for them, and sometimes that role falls on us to make those decisions on their behalf because they're not responsible enough to do it, such as when they need to go to bed, making sure they eat healthy meals, making sure that they're safe, making sure that they obey. Those are things that we have to often enforce and make decisions on our children's behalf. However, when we give our children choices in things that they can have control over, it allows them to practice those decision-making skills, problem-solving skills, and they learn to self-regulate and self-control. So we want to balance when we have to make decisions on their behalf with when we can offer them choices as well. So Oreo cookie method. I want to pause a moment because due to copyright and due to us not doing this in person, I'm not able to show you this video. When I train parents personally and when I do my parent private coaching, I have several copies of this and we actually watch it together. If you would like kind of the deeper, more in-depth, more examples, more training on this choice-giving method from the author of this curriculum, Gary Landreth, he has a video out. It's called Choices, Cookies, and Kids. And you can buy it on Amazon. You can buy it from the Association for Play Therapy's website. It's about 40 minutes long. It was recorded. He was giving a talk at a church and they recorded it. I will set a couple of disclaimers. It's about 40, 45 minutes long. So you would need to be prepared that that's the length that you'll need to watch. It is quite old. Their attire is quite funny. Their jewelry is funny. You can tell it was recorded a long time ago. But its quality and its age aside, it is just gold. It is full of the most incredible examples and stories from his own child raising, from his own family, and it really helps you get a big picture of what choice giving looks like, practically speaking, you know, day in, day out, using examples of his own kids. You know, I gave this choice to this child, and I gave this choice to this child, and here's why I did it differently. So if you're willing to spend the $20 or $30, I don't know how much they're going for right now, but it would be a great supplement to this training. Show it to your spouse, show it to your parents, show it to everybody that's involved with your kids, because it really is that good. He's a Texan, he has a Southern drawl, he's so endearing. You fall in love with him watching the video. And so wanted to let you know, we can't show you those videos because of copyright. But it's certainly worth the watch if you're willing to buy it and then watch it when you get a chance. However, this next section comes directly out of that video, so you do get one example even if you don't watch the video. So there's light at the end of the tunnel there if you decide not to watch it. So in his Choices, Cookies, and Kids video, he talks about how his Oreo cookie theory, is what he calls it, was born. And the scenario is his three-year-old daughter, it's late, it's like 9:30 at night, 10 o'clock at night, they're at a family's house or a friend's house, and he says, you just learned something about me. I don't always do the good things I know to do. My three-year-old should not have been awake at 10 o'clock at night. So then he says, can you tell I almost have this memorized? I could probably word for word this for you. But so she comes into the out of the kitchen, into the living room, clutching the entire bag of Oreo cookies. And he says, I was ready to say to her, absolutely not. You are not having Oreo cookies at 10 o'clock. Go put all the cookies back. And it dawns on him, I've never given her a choice in her whole life. How will she ever learn what it feels like to make a choice if I don't provide her with one? So he, Oreo cookie theory developed right there. He realizes I'm going to give my three-year-old a choice. Now let's go back to rules of thumb. Big choices for big kids, little choices for little kids. This will not seem like that big of a choice, but she's three. So he says, ACT, I know that you would like to have some cookies, but it is very late. You acknowledge the feeling, you communicate the limit. Target the alternative becomes a choice. You can choose to have one cookie and put the rest of the cookies back, or you can choose to put all of the cookies back. Which do you choose? And he said, she processed, and he said, this is so true as well. I laugh every time I think about this. He says, have you ever noticed how little kids try to see inside their brain? So they roll their eyes up. It's like they're trying to watch their thoughts swim around. So he says, she's thinking through what she's gonna say. And he says, she goes back into the kitchen and comes back out with one cookie. And it became very clear to him that she made a choice. She felt a measure of control. There was no fight. Because earlier, you know, without giving that choice scenario, it could have been, nope, you're not allowed to have a cookie. Absolute meltdown. Or, no, you cannot have those. You may have one only. Meltdown. I want four. And so he says, well, Gary, but what if, you know, what if she says, no, I want more than one cookie? You fall back on the choice. I know you'd like to have more, but that's not part of the choice. You can choose to have one cookie and put the rest back, or you can choose to put all the cookies back. Which do you choose? So that was the video version of that story, but it is right here. So you want her to know that she has a measure of control, she has power, and she can choose to have none or one. And in that scenario, one sounds way better. So that is the Oreo cookie method. So here's a second example. She does not want to take her medicine and tells you that she is not taking it. If you've ever had kids that have to take medicine and they just will fight you tooth and nail, this will resonate with you. So taking the medicine is not a choice. They have to, it's for their health, it's for their safety, it's for their recovery, it's whatever it is a necessity, you have to take your medicine. So you can still provide control and power to your kids even in a scenario like that. So you would say, I know that you don't want to take your medicine, but medicine is important for you. A, C, target the alternative becomes the choice. You can choose to have apple juice or orange juice with your medicine, which do you choose? Notice that the focus shifts from taking or not taking the medicine to what do you choose to take the medicine with? Do you choose to take it with apple juice or orange juice? Which do you choose? Oh, well, I'd rather have it with apple juice. Okay, you chose to take your medicine with apple juice. And remember what we talked about before. The very nature of the fact that they chose something means they are more likely to abide by the decision. So the likelihood of them fighting taking the medicine with apple juice when they've already chosen to take the medicine with apple juice, you can see how that doesn't remain congruent anymore. So that would be another scenario where you provide the choice in a situation where they don't want to do something. Third, 7-year-old Billy is tired and cranky and refuses to get in the car to go home from Grandma and Grandpa's house. It's time to leave. He's worn out, long day, doesn't want to do it, refusing to get in the car. So you can choose to sit in the front seat with Dad, or you can choose to sit in the back seat with Sarah. Which do you choose? Notice again, the focus shifts to where do you want to sit in the car rather than are you going to get in the car or not? So now if you couple that with the ACT, it would be, I know that you don't want to be in the car, but it's time to go home. So you can choose to sit in the front seat with Dad, or you can choose to sit in the back seat with Sarah. Which do you choose? Okay, so hopefully you're seeing the process and the framework. All right, so if you consider the first one was problematic or potential behavior struggles, then this is as consequences. Now we're moving into enforcing household policies and rules. So this is very important because obviously there are things around the house that need to be done and there are expectations that should be followed. So this gives you the opportunity to provide choices in that scenario. So here's a very helpful tip, one at a time. Begin with one. Do not try to enforce 18 household policies with choices all at once. It will overwhelm your child, it will overwhelm you, and it will probably lead to failure on both sides. So one at a time, choose the one you'd like to fix first, and once that has been addressed, then you can change to a new one. Here's a helpful tip. Provide two choices. One is phrased positively, one is phrased negatively. So the positive is the consequence for complying with the household rule. The negative is for not complying with the policy or rule. I will look at what that looks like in just a second. So remember, the negative choice is a consequence that you believe your child would not prefer, such as losing TV, losing friend privileges, losing screen time, whatever that looks like. So you want the consequence for non-compliance to be relevant and logical, though. It's never punitive. It's relevant and logical. So if you choose this choice, you choose this outcome, there needs to be some match there. And it needs to be enforceable. And it needs to be consistently enforceable. It can't be, it's this one moment and something else the next. It's consistently enforced. Just like the limits across all play sessions. Remember we talked about if you set a limit on play session one, it will carry all the way through, consistently enforced. Same principle here. So here's an example. This will probably help it settle a little bit. The household rule is that the toys in the family room need to be picked up from the floor before dinner. And here's the issue. Your children cannot seem to remember to pick them up without being told repeatedly. In other words, every single night we go through this same routine and you are frustrated with having to constantly remind your child to pick up the toys or your children. And then therefore there are power struggles. So there's the rule, it's not being followed. So here is a very important phrase. You can tweak it, modify it, summarize it in any way that you choose, but this also comes out of the video and his phrase is, kids, we are about to institute a new and significant policy within the confines of this household. It's very verbose, it's very, get your attention, it's long, it's complicated, high-end vocabulary words, all to get your child's attention. Sorry. And he says in the video that he has used that phrase so many times, as soon as he begins, when he says, we are about to institute, that's as far as he gets, and his kids realize whatever he's about to say is going to change my very life. So they have learned when this phrase comes out, whatever is going to be said is going to influence my life and I need to pay attention. So you can tweak it, you can shorten it, you can modify it however you'd like, but you should probably come up with a phrase that you use consistently that gets your child's attention. So we are about to institute a new and significant policy within the confines of this household, and the policy is. So when you choose to pick up your toys before dinner, you choose to watch 30 minutes of TV after dinner. There's the positive. Positive choice is picking up toys. Positive consequence is TV. If you choose not to pick up your toys before dinner, negative choice, you choose not to watch TV after dinner. Negative consequence. Here's what's very important. If you choose, then you choose, if you choose, then you choose, which do you choose? Five chooses in that scenario. If you choose to pick up your toys before dinner, you choose to have 30 minutes of TV after dinner. If you choose not to pick up your toys before dinner, you choose not to have TV after dinner. Which do you choose? This does not work if those chooses are not in there. Here's why. If the phrase comes out, if you pick up your toys before dinner, you get to watch TV. If you don't pick up your toys after dinner, you don't get to watch TV. That's a threat. And your kids learn nothing about self-control and self-regulation by being threatened. But when you say, if you choose, then you choose, if you choose, then you choose, which do you choose? It's very clear where the responsibility lies. It's also very clear where the control comes from. The child is making the decision. So make sure you're using if you choose, then you choose twice and follow it up with which do you choose. Okay, so it is important to give your children like a 10 to 15 minute warning before dinner in this scenario so that they can begin to pick up their toys. So it's always helpful, just like in our play sessions, we give 5 minute warnings. It's always important when there's an expectation of behavior that goes along with a change. In other words, you're playing and then it's going to be dinner time. You want to give them a 10 or so minute warning. In 10 minutes, it's going to be dinner. That means they can begin to pick up the toys. Okay, so here is how this would look. There are several options, right? Because you've given them a choice, and equally acceptable to you and the child, and you just enforce whatever choice was made. So the first time you announce this policy, children may be able to comply because you just told them. It's fresh in their mind, they know it, they're ready for it. Oh, okay, I want to watch TV, so I'm going to do it. But what's important is that you begin to allow your children to learn and use their internal resources. Because the whole point was you implemented this so that you didn't have to constantly remind and nag them. So you don't want to have to constantly remind and nag them. You want them to remember the policy on their own. So the first time out, they may do it, you know, right off the bat, no problem. And you think, oh my gosh, this is wonderful. But then night two or three, they forget. Understandable. It's a new rule, not fresh in their mind. But the goal is they remember on their own. So you will second night say, Billy and Sarah, dinner will be ready in 10 minutes. It's time to pick up your toys and you go back out, and then it's their job to decide to choose the TV afterwards because they cleaned up, or the TV afterwards because they didn't clean up. So when you come back out to announce dinner 10 minutes later, there's going to be options of what has happened. So option A, the toys have not been picked up. You don't need to do anything at that moment. You just go out and have dinner. It's very clear what choice was made, but it doesn't need to be addressed in that moment. So the toys were not picked up. You already know the choice that was made. You go out and have dinner. Then after dinner, you go into the family room and you announce, I see you've chosen not to watch TV tonight. Why? Because they chose not to have their toys picked up. Now, what's going to happen in that scenario? Almost without fail, oh, and they run over and they start picking up the toys super quick. Lightning fast, everything's picked up in 46 seconds. You gave them a whole 10 minutes before dinner, but they only needed 46 seconds. And they're going to say what? Can we watch TV now because we picked up the toys? It's exactly the way it goes. Every child. It's not just yours, it's every kid. So you're going to say, you think that if you pick up your toys right now that you can watch TV, but you chose not to because you chose not to have your toys picked up before dinner. That was the policy. If you choose to have them picked up before dinner, you choose to watch TV. So they're going to plead and they're going to cry and they're going to beg, and it's going to be this overwhelming disaster for them, and you're going to follow through with the consequence while all the time calmly and empathically saying, I know you wish you would have chosen to put your toys away before dinner so you could watch TV, but tomorrow night you can choose to put them away before dinner and watch TV then. Here's the italicized sentence. Some children will choose not to watch TV for several nights in a row. In the video, he says his daughters went 9 days in a row with their negative consequence before they started self-regulating. So it is a process. Kids will learn when I choose in that moment, I choose the outcome. And they will start regulating and start remembering because it's important to them. If TV is important to them after dinner, that will be the choice that is made. If you enforce the choices that they make when they choose the negative consequence. So that would be option A. The toys were not picked up. They chose not to have TV that night. No matter how much they plead or beg or get upset, you fall back on the choice. The very moment that you chose not to pick up your toys before dinner, at that very moment, you chose not to have TV after dinner. Because when they scramble out and do it immediately after dinner, oh, okay, well, we got them picked up. Now we can watch TV, right? I know that you wish you could, but at the moment you chose not to pick up your toys before dinner was at the very moment you chose to not have TV tonight. But you can try again tomorrow. You always want them to know there's a clean slate, fresh start the next day or the next opportunity. You also want to meet them where they are and acknowledge their feeling. I know you're disappointed that you chose not to have TV. I know you wish you would have cleaned up your toys. I know that you're upset that you don't have TV tonight. And then you fall back on the choice. Okay, option B is either the toys have been put away or they are actively picking up the toys and most have been put away. In other words, they're finishing the last few little bits of cleanup and otherwise the toys have been put away. So you say, as maybe you even help pick up those last few toys to show cooperation, you say, it's time for dinner. I see you've chosen to watch TV after dinner tonight because you chose to put all the toys away before dinner. So notice that in both scenarios, you verbally and outwardly acknowledge the choice that was made. I see you chose to have TV tonight because you chose to pick up the toys. Or I see you chose not to have TV tonight because you chose not to pick up your toys. They need to have reinforcement of the choice that was made. And we're usually pretty good about acknowledging the negative choice that's made. We're worse about acknowledging the positive. So make sure that you say out loud, I see you chose to watch TV tonight. They need to be acknowledged when they make the positive choice as well. Okay, so that is enforcing household policies and rules. I think it's probably sinking in a little bit and you're starting to understand what that looks like. Here are some guidelines that are important as you're doing this. You enforce the consequence without fail. Remember, consistency and follow through is crucial, but you also do it without anger. There is absolute freedom for us as parents and caregivers and people in charge of children. There is absolute freedom for us to not have to enforce anything as far as discipline. We just enforce the choice that was already made. In the video, he says, you know, I could have said, I had to take TV away from my girls 9 days in a row. But he instead said, my girls chose to lose TV 9 days in a row. My kids chose to lose TV by not picking up their toys 9 days in a row. My child chose to not have book privileges 9 days in a row. I would have chosen for them to have those things. They chose. I'm not the disciplinarian. I'm just enforcing the outcome that they had already chosen. So there's no need for anger. There's no need for frustration. There's no need for anything. You are just enforcing it without fail and without anger. The consequence is for today only. That's very important. Today only is a big piece because they need to know that every day or every scenario that happens, for example, picking up toys every night after dinner or putting pajamas away every morning or being in the car every day. Maybe it's being in the car several times a day and you don't want them to fight in the back seat. Every opportunity is a new, fresh start. That is what helps them to learn to self-regulate. So the consequence is only ever for a day. You want them to be able to learn from their decision and consequence, so they get another shot. And that allows them to use their internal resources to control and make a different decision, which is really important. So another tip, reflect their choice with empathy, no matter what choice they make. But you are firm. You are going to be consistent. You are going to follow through. Those are critical. But you're still going to have empathy and you're still going to have compassion. I know you wish you would have chosen not to do that. I know you would wish you would have chosen to put your toys away. It's just, it's empathy and it's compassion, but it's still firm and consistent. Communicate choices in a matter-of-fact voice. This is very important. Power struggles are likely if children hear frustration in your choice or anger. So if they believe that you want them to pick one choice over another, that can escalate things. If they hear you getting emotional, that can escalate things. They have to be free to choose the consequence no matter what. In other words, here's what that would look like. You can choose to go to bed right now, and you can choose to have cartoons in the morning. But if you choose not to go to bed right now, you choose no cartoons tomorrow. Do you see the difference? It's very clear what you want them to pick. It's very clear where your emotions are. It's very clear what you think they should do. They have to be free to choose to lose cartoons the next day. They have to be free to choose not to go to bed right away. That is their choice. You just enforce the consequence. And it's calm and it's neutral and there's no emotion, there's no anger. Here's a caution, and this is important. The very bottom in the italics, if your child has gotten to a point where they are out of control, they are emotionally overwrought, everything is a big deal, they've lost control, they're having a meltdown, a tantrum, they're screaming, they're crying, whatever. If they are completely out of control, the likelihood is they will not be able to hear and process a choice. When a child is drowning, it's not the time to teach them to swim. I hope that popped into your head. So take a step back, reflect their feelings, acknowledge what they're going through. You can obviously set a limit on unacceptable behavior. I mean, if they're flailing, hitting, kicking, whatever, you still set a limit, but you meet them and you reflect what they're feeling so that then when they're calm, you can go back and talk about the choice. But if they're so out of control that they are completely emotional, they cannot cognitively process that choice. So you have to weigh that and go with your gut there. If they can't receive your choice, it's not worth even setting one in that moment. So that is where we're going to pause for today, because like I said, 6 and 7 go together. So we'll talk more about choice giving next time as well. But I do want to go over homework with you. So that covers all of our skill for today. And in the next video, we will take a peek at homework.